Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu.
It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn what the difference is between the Sunni and Shia sects of Islam. We often hear about this divide in the news, and our guests will give us the history and discuss how it affects relations in the Middle East today.
But first, we're talking about the Detroit Auto Show, which opened to the public this weekend. What new models were unveiled, and what's new in the auto industry?
Paul Eisenstein is with us to share what he saw at this year's show. He's publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be back with you.
So first, give us a sense of what we get at an auto show. Is this stuff that's going to be, you know, at the dealers next week, or are these the cars of the future?
Well, certainly the cars that are in the majority at the show are the cars you can get today. You'll see all the 2014 models all over the floor at Cobo Hall. But what really draws people to the car show, and certainly draws, oh, it was over 5,000 of us journalists this year, are the cars that will be there tomorrow or next year and sometimes years afterwards. So there were about 50 new product previews. Some of them will be hitting the showrooms in as few as 3 or 4 weeks. Others next year. Some of them may not be out for a couple of years.
What are some of the big trends you've seen at the show this year?
Well, there's quite a few interesting things at this show. Anybody who is into the auto industry probably knows that what we've seen at car shows all over the world, never mind just Detroit or even in the United States in recent years, has been a focus on green technology. The number of new battery cars, whether they're hybrids, plug-ins, or pure electric vehicles, has been huge. That seems to be the subject of almost every car show. We even saw three hydrogen cars show up in the L.A. Auto Show just a few months back. What's really curious is this year, the focus was on performance, if you will, muscle cars. Now, Detroit was one of the biggest here. We had the North American International Auto Show begin with a jury of 48 North American journalists, I'm one, award the Car of the Year to the Corvette Stingray, which debuted a year ago at the show. The Corvette Z06 was here. This is the new 625-horsepower version of the Corvette. But what was really interesting was that even Toyota showed up this year with a performance car, a performance car under their Lexus brand, and another concept vehicle called the FT1 sports car that they previewed for the Toyota brand itself.
So if that green technology isn't front and center, are automakers ignoring the eco-friendly green trend completely in Detroit?
Oh, no, not at all. And again, remember, this is automakers from all over the world that are showing performance vehicles. It's not like Detroit took over here and, you know, Chevrolet and Ford and Chrysler were bucking the trend. No, it's makers from all over the world, and that reflects the reality of what the market's demanding. We can talk about green all we want, but the fact is electric vehicles and regular hybrids aren't making up very much of the market. They accounted for a very small percentage of the overall U.S. car market last year. Performance cars outsold them by a fair bit. The difference is that the performance cars that we're seeing right now are in many ways green, or at least greener than they used to be. Imagine, if you will, a decade ago being told by somebody that a Corvette Stingray would be able to get 30 miles a gallon. But that's what the ahem base version of the Corvette at only 450 horsepower can get on the highway right now, 30 miles a gallon. And you are seeing this sort of thing happening from all sorts of performance cars. Many of them are getting the sort of mileage that a decade ago you would have been happy to get out of a subcompact.
How are they doing that? How are automakers getting that kind of performance that you'd expect from a performance car, but boosting mileage at the same time?
Well, there's a lot of different ways, and it really depends on what approach each individual maker is taking. The Corvette has the classic big block V8 And the way that they're doing it is by using all sorts of smart new approaches. The car is lighter. The car is more aerodynamic. It uses a multi-speed gearbox. It has direct injection. And it has something called displacement on demand, a fancy way of saying that half of its eight cylinders can shut off when it's cruising down the highway and you don't need that much power to keep it going at a steady speed. You have Porsche that has been using something called stop-start, a technology that many people believe will be in the majority of vehicles in the United States in not that many years. Maybe some of your listeners have already experienced this. You come to a stoplight, or maybe you're at a bank line or fast food line. You put your foot on the brake, and the engine automatically shuts off. Lift your foot off the brake, and suddenly it automatically restarts. And the idea is you can save anywhere from, depend on whose numbers you trust, anywhere from 3 to 7% of your mileage, especially if you're somebody who spends a lot of time in town doing a lot of stop-and-go driving.
You mentioned making vehicles lighter, and at the opposite end from those Porsches and things like that, the Ford F-150 is something I've been seeing headlines about, changing to aluminum to get lighter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what segment of the market you're looking at. All automakers are now putting an emphasis on what they call lightweighting. And here's a simple reason why. The rule of thumb in the industry is that for every 100 pounds, that you take off the weight of a vehicle, you're going to save as much as a mile a gallon. So with the Ford F series, the F-150 in particular, losing as much as 700 pounds, we expect when they finally announce the formal EPA numbers that they could be down as much as 7 miles a gallon. Imagine a full-size pickup truck that might be getting, we don't know the hard numbers yet, but could be getting as much as 30 miles a gallon.
Speaking of EPA, there are upcoming fuel standards changing. They'll be stricter, I think, than current standards. Are automakers kind of looking out of the corner of the eye or in their rearview mirror? No, that's coming ahead. Are they watching those and keeping those in mind?
Yeah, they're definitely keeping that in mind, which is why you have things like displacement and demand. You have an F-Series pickup that's coming out of aluminum. And by the way, I didn't directly answer your question. The new F-Series uses an all-aluminum body. There's only one panel made out of steel, and that's because it's a panel designed to reduce noise. The chassis uses lighter weight steels, ultra high strength and high strength steels that can be stronger and yet lighter at the same time. You're even seeing carbon fiber technologies that was once limited to only the most exotic cars like a Lamborghini, a McLaren, a Ferrari, or race cars like an F1. Well, that is now migrating slowly into the mainstream. It's still phenomenally expensive and difficult to produce in a mass volume. But you're seeing that, for example, on the new BMW i3 electric car. And many people believe that within a decade we could be seeing carbon fiber become a widespread material, something that a lot of manufacturers will need to meet. The reality is all these pieces, as well as hybrid technology, as well as pure battery electric, will be absolutely essential for the auto industry if they're going to meet the tough standards of 2016 and the incredibly tough standards, 54.5 miles a gallon, that the EPA has set for 2025.
How do you think the public's going to receive what we're seeing at the auto show today?
Well, if last year was any indication, it's going to be a very good year for the auto industry. Last year exceeded expectations going into 2013, ended the year with 15.5 million sales. The forecasts generally range between 16.1 and 16.5 million for 2014. And a lot of that is being driven not just by the economy starting to turn around, but by the fact that the industry is putting out some very exciting products. Now, where the boom, where things will grow this year is a big question mark. The surprise of 2013 was the comeback of that full-size pickup truck market. That grew from a near record low of 1.1 million a year back in the depths of the recession to almost 2 million and could go even higher. And that's directly related to the recovery of the economy because a good percentage of people who buy pickups need it for work, contractors, fleet owners, and the like. So we're going to be watching very closely to see what segments of the market will take off again in 2014.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
great to be with you.
That was Paul Eisenstein, publisher and editor of thedetroitbureau.com.
Up next, we'll learn about the centuries-old split between Sunni and Shia Muslims. But first, Noah Ovshinsky joins us now from the newsroom with a look at headlines.